It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Friday the 14th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Out of its over 1 billion users, I'm going to guess the majority of us would rather browse Facebook than tweak our privacy settings. But data privacy is top of mind for many people right now, and Facebook this week has revamped its tools for giving you more control over which of your information bits you give up or protect. There's even a video tutorial. Our friend and senior technology writer at Slate, Will Remus, has been looking at this. Hey, Will, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks, Ben.
How are your Facebook privacy settings? You getting in there?
You know, I think there's a lot of mothballs piling up in my Facebook privacy settings attic.
Smelling a little mothball-y?
It's a little musty back there, but Facebook is trying to get me to go back in there and organize things in that attic once and for all. They've rolled out a new page called Privacy Basics.
Do you think it's useful?
To their credit, this new page puts everything in as plain English as they could muster. But it's interesting. This Privacy Basics page, I think, also serves another more subtle purpose for Facebook, which is that it shines a lot of attention on the privacy settings that have to do with what your friends see. What that obscures is all the stuff that Facebook sees. And that is the crux of another new policy that Facebook came out with this week, which is their new data policy. And that is where the real nitty-gritty comes in terms of all the stuff that Facebook collects about you. So even if your friends aren't seeing your post, Facebook knows that you posted it. And even if your friends aren't seeing, you know, what websites you're visiting when you're not on Facebook, Facebook now sees that too. There are ways to opt out, but they're not simple and they're not readily highlighted on that friendly Privacy Basics page.
Will Remus from Slate. Will, thank you very much for breaking this down for us.
Thanks, Ben.
Will has a post up about Facebook's policy changes. Just to keep it meta, we've posted a link to that article at facebook.com/marketplacetech. Earlier this week, we were talking about a U.S. Postal Service hack possibly originating from China. And today, we're going to talk about another attack that reportedly disrupted weather data collected and maintained by the federal agency that runs the National Weather Service. This meant a break in the stream of information public and private forecasters rely on, and this sort of thing can have a big impact on business, from Chicago, Nova Sappho reports.
If you want a clear link between the economy and the weather, think back to last winter and all those polar vortices.
We did spend a lot of time discussing weather and how it's affected businesses and households.
That's Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen. Businesses spend a lot of time planning for the weather, too. Industries like shipping and air travel. Ross Amer is a retired United Airlines pilot and aviation consultant.
Most airlines have their own weather prediction and monitoring operation,
which relies on National Weather Service data. Gary Cecchini, a senior policy analyst at RAND, says governments rely on that data, too.
We see a storm coming, and all the information you can have prompts decisions about when do you evacuate, where do you move people to, what places will be safe and what places will be inundated.
Here in Chicago, for example, forecasts help determine when to open the water gates into Lake Michigan to prevent flooding. In Chicago, I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Kronos, offering cloud-based workforce management solutions designed to help organizations maximize one of their biggest investments, their workforce. More at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. By Citrix GoToMeeting, connecting people and businesses in face-to-face online meetings from any device. More at GoToMeeting.com. And by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, working to ensure all students graduate high school prepared to succeed in college and careers.
It's Friday, so time for a little Silicon Tally. This week, my guest, David Banks, he's the co-editor of the blog Cyborgology. David, are you ready to play the game where we try and stump each other with numbers from the week's tech news?
I've been reading news all morning.
I got a number for you, 2 bounces.
Oh, that's how many bounces it took before that little thing landed on the comet.
Yes, after bouncing twice off the surface of Comet 67P, the Philae space probe landed in one piece and has already started sending back images to the Rosetta satellite. What do you think? I mean, this is obviously, we've all seen the movie, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's really exciting.
You sound beside yourself with excitement.
Yeah. I guess now we just need to figure out if we can get resources off a comet, how do we get wastes off the planet once we're done with them?
That's a different movie. That's when Superman puts them all in a giant net and throws them into the sun.
Yeah, less animal cracker scenes in that one.
All right, what do you got for me?
$47,000.
$47,000 is... I got nothing. What do you got?
That's how much Ted Cruz accepted in campaign contributions from big telecom companies over the past few years. Cruz, of course, recently tweeted that net neutrality is Obamacare for the internet.
I feel like Ted Cruz, 47 grand for tweeting, that's a cheap date.
He's definitely getting bargain basement rates.
All right, I got a number for you. 2 millimeters by 12 millimeters.
The size of my office.
Have you figured out how to shrink yourself?
No, it's a standing desk for my pinky toe.
This is actually a Dutch Bitcoin entrepreneur has implanted 2 microchips in his hands that let him make Bitcoin payments to Android devices.
I think first we need to make sure everyone has money. Then we can start implanting things into people to pay for them in weird ways.
All right, what do you got for me?
1%.
Can you give me a hint?
Of employees.
1% of employees plan on not shopping on Cyber Monday.
That is how many engineers employed at Facebook, Google, and Twitter, according to Bloomberg, are black.
That's pretty shocking.
And so it really shows, especially like from their heel dragging in dealing with harassment online, just as an example, the lack of representation in those workplaces has a pretty big effect even outside of getting a job there.
All right, David Banks, he's the co-editor of the blog Cyborgology. David, thank you very much for playing along, man.
Thank you so much for having me.
Remember, you can find a special listener version of Silicon Tally at MarketplaceTech.org. Before we go today, don't know if this will be high on Reddit.com, but the company's CEO, Yishan Wang, has resigned, something about a dispute over real estate for the company. Also hard to forget, though, that super awkward and public comment thread on the company's website recently where a former employee complained about being let go and Wang said, "Actually, you were totally fired for cause." That might have had something to do with Wang's own departure. Company co-founder Alexis Ohanian will come back to help steer Reddit forward. It might be the front page of the internet, but it's still looking to turn that audience into cash. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.